Our next speaker, his name is Sam, and he's from Washington, D.C.
I'm Lil Sam, and I'm an addict. I'm going to read this speaker statement, and then I'm going to start with 1, 2, and 3. The NA member chosen to speak at this meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from the other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell extensively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Let me give me some water. I'm a little dry up here. Again, I'm Lil Sam, and I'm an addict. Excited about recovery. You know, excited about recovery. Excited about recovery. Yes, sir. I'm one of them old happy addicts, you know what I'm saying? So I need to hear all that, you know, because in the beginning, it was kind of rough for me. You know, I don't know about nobody else. You know, when I came in here, I was through. You know, you could stick a fork in me and I was done. You know, I looked it like an old gas station mop head. You know what I mean? And I wanted to let you know that, because I ain't always looked like this. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe in the beginning, you know, it was all right. But I'm going to sit up here and, you know, tell my story, because my story is based on 1, 2, and 3. You know what I mean? Because in the beginning, I didn't realize that I was an addict. You know, I couldn't stop using for nothing. You know, all I ever wanted to do with my ready-made family was to make it home with my check. That's all I ever wanted to do, man. You know, but something keep telling me that you got one more run in you. You can do this. All you got to do is go to the store and get a few money orders and put this to the side. You know what I'm saying? All I ever wanted to do was make it home with my check, man. You know, I only share that to say that I was unmanageable, right? I was unmanageable to a point that I kept promising her these things. And like I said, in the beginning, I started off, you know, because I'm one of them type that in the relationship during my addiction. I say during my addiction, I like to go half on the rent, half on the electric, half on the cable, half on the phone, and I can have a pocket full of money and go half on the $10 bag. You know, and I got to say that because I learned today by coming to Narcotics Anonymous, it teach me how to be a man today and take full coverage. Take on my own responsibility where I don't have to go half on nothing. I can pay the full coverage today. You know, and that's only through the grace of God and you people in this program. You know, because y'all have given me a new way of life. You know, I've taken suggestions from people who lead me in an orderly direction. You know, for a long time I was in denial. You know, even when I came in this program, I still couldn't admit that I was an addict. Just like when the young lady got up here and read, you know, you say, "Who is she?" Man, look, I'm Sam. That's all you need to know. Y'all should be glad of me. But that was the self-centeredness in me. You know what I mean? Because don't nobody in this program owe me nothing. You know, and what I learned is that by coming to this program, I didn't know how to live at first, right? Because in the beginning, all my rights was my wrongs, and all my wrongs was my rights. You know, I lived in a world of a fantasy, you know, that you're supposed to hustle, go to jail, and use drugs. Because my father had been in the penitentiary for 20 years or more, I felt that I was a breed of him, that I had to touch the same waters. I ain't going to sit here and tell you I supposed to did 20 years like him, but I supposed to, you know, I supposed to touch the water a little bit, you know, and but I had it all twisted, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't the way to live, you know, because I seen this guy with a BR, and I wanted that bankroll. It was considered a bankroll. You know, it wasn't the cars he was driving, the clothes he was wearing, and all the women he had, and nothing that. You know, I figure if I get that BR, I can get the same thing he got. You know what I mean? And what happened was, I got the same thing he got. I got shipped to Guatemala, Texas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. You know, and my life was all unmanageable, man. It was discombobulated, you know. Because when you come in this program, you kind of, you know I thought I knew it, the answer to everything. You know what I'm saying? But what had happened was the disease had gotten the best of me. You know, I remember going up to a Popeye's, and the manager used to give me free food all the time. And I used to think that the manager was scared of me, you know what I mean? Because I thought I was still that big dude that came in Popeye talking about, "Nick, give me some chicken," you know. And what happened was, since I've been in this program and I've done some step work, I learned a little more about me, right? That the guy wasn't scared of me. He wasn't intimidated by me or nothing. He just wanted to give me some food before I can leave, before I won't create no disturbance, because I looked and smelled just that bad. You know, he just wanted me to leave, man. But no, my filthy thinking told me that, you know, you need to go in here because you're real hungry, and you really don't want to break the law, so he gonna give you some food because he's scared of you. So when I go in there this particular time, it was a lady working, and the manager wasn't there. So I get to ordering all this stuff with like two sweatshirts on and two pair of pants. You know how we do when we use, we have a tendency of getting small, right? And I jumped over the counter. Immediately my disease kicked in and I started bagging chicken up with my bare hands, right? And while I was over there bagging it up with my bare hands, the girl on the register talking about, "Ooh, look at him, look at him." So immediately, you know, I ain't going to sit here and tell you that I grabbed the whole cash register, because that's not my story. What I did was grab the first thing that my five fingers can reach in that drawer, and that was about $35, $36. And I pursued to come over the counter with a bag of chicken in this arm and about $35 in this hand, you know. So when I get around the way, you know, I done lost all desire wanting to eat. So the chicken went to somebody, and you know, since I had that money, it was Coca-Cola time, you know, and the money went to the dope man, you know, and I sat at the bus stop with like 15 or 13 cents in my pocket, somebody done bumped my head if it was that much, you know. So when I came into this program, I didn't come through a treatment or detox, you know, I just surrendered. You know what I mean? I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of living, looking and smelling like I was smelling, you know. And this little girl who I used to take her and her brothers with my ready-made family to the amusement park looked at me and said, "Mr. Sam, why your jaws looking like that?" and they were sucked all the way in. You know, it's funny how people can see you better than you can see yourself. You know, me and my sponsor, we talk about the man in the mirror all the time. You know, and that little girl really had hurt my feelings if I had any at that time. You know what I mean? And I couldn't do nothing to her because she was like 11 or 12 years old. You know, kids today had the damnedest things to say. You know, they very intellectual. You know what I mean? And only thing I can do is play it off. Like I said, I was going to take her to the candy lady, which is the ice cream truck, right? And she made me mad, so I was like, go on over there with your mother. I ain't buying you nothing. I said, go on now. You know. So when I got in this program, y'all told me that I need to get in service. I need to sit up front. I need to get a sponsor. Find me a God of my understanding. And most of all, help somebody with no strings attached. You know, and I heard that. And it was this profound word that just kept sticking in my head. And I really thought that people was trying to, you know, be a step above me, you know, keep coming back. You know, I couldn't identify. I didn't like that word. I thought he was saying something real slick, you know, because he had a little more clean time than me. And when he said keep coming back, I just looked at him for a while, right? He said, yeah, brother, keep coming back. I said, yeah, all right. All right. You know. So I held on to it, you know what I'm saying? And I found myself kept coming back. You know, y'all say that in this program, when you find you a God and you find them now, that some things will start to happen without your permission. Just staying clean one day at a time. You know, and because all my life I said my rights was my wrongs and my wrongs was my right. You know, I ain't know no other way how to live. So when I first found God, I had to go through a penitentiary to find him. You know, and I held on to him, and he had been watching over me even in the streets during my addiction. You know, but I choose to take my will and do what I wanted to do, you know, and all that led me was into self-destruction, you know. So when I got reintroduced to God, it was through this program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, y'all say the little boy will grow up to be a man sooner or later. You know what I mean? All I got to do is stay in my lane. You know, when I got with my sponsor, I had picked a sponsor that was cool with my father, you know, who was in the fellowship, you know what I mean, and but he was going through some things too, but y'all ain't tell me that it's a two-way street with a sponsor, right? You know, and I know the IP pamphlet is there for sponsorship, but see, like I said, I thought I knew everything, so I just went on, because the dude looked it cool, everybody was in his face. You know what I mean? And he had a lot of years of clean time. You know, and I'm not saying that he didn't do no step work for himself, but it, when it, you know, just being clean ain't enough. You know what I mean? Just being clean ain't enough, because see, it's going to get a point that when you get in recovery, you're going to appreciate. I know I appreciate being clean today. Because the third tradition tells us that, you know, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. So I appreciated that when I got here, right? But now that I got here and I started taking some suggestions and I started appreciating me again, right? So some things started happening, then just clean, being clean wasn't enough. So the sponsor that I had was just a sponsor by name. You know, he might have took me to certain meetings and, you know, a little function here and treated me to something to eat. But I was empty inside when I leave him. You know what I mean? I was hurting inside. You know, I remember walking from a, because at this time I was walking, right? I was leaving a club in D.C. on a Saturday. And, Everybody was fellowshipping outside and hugging and embracing, but they was going to get in their cars. So I had to walk on up the street, and I got the message, but then I saw all this glamoring that be going on around my way, right? So I said, I'm going to drift downtown and see the prostitutes, because that's part of my story. So I wanted to see all the fire cars and the lights and the girls walking up and down the street. And I just left a meeting. But I ain't done no work on me. I just got a sponsor by name. So I'm saying that to the newcomer, you know, when we hold stuff in and we don't reach out, like this sister was just saying, you got to let somebody know what you're going through, man, or how you feeling inside. You ain't necessarily got to be going through nothing. You just feeling uncomfortable about yourself. So I went down there and I ran into Mojo and Food Stamp and all them dudes, right? And they had it for me. They was ready. Man, you looking good. You know, they really boosted my ego. And a voice just whispered right in my head, you need to get on the subway and get on away from here. And I finally, once in my life, listened to that voice in my head, man. And I got on the subway and I went home and I called my father, my network, my sponsor, my aunts. You know, they ain't even in the fellowship, but I needed to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? And I knew talking with Joe Blow and Food Stamp and them, you know, they only had one thing made up in their mind, how much money you got. You know. So right then and there, I found me a God. I was reintroduced to God again, right? And, you know, step one is one of them steps that will always be with me, man. Because I have to surrender every day. You know, step two it gives me a lot of hope, although I have to surrender and trust and believe in the power that I believe in. You know what I mean? And, when I start really believing in the power greater than myself and this program, I heard someone say, if your name not on the lease, you still consider homeless. You know, not in your mother's basement, not on your sister's couch, not in your baby mother's house, not in treatment, you're homeless. So a state of fear wouldn't allow me to want to step out and get my own, you know, because I was in a relationship and I always lived with females and I always lived with my family. I never had my own. So I was in a relationship that I really wanted out of, but I was too afraid to leave, but I ain't want to see nobody else with her. It might have went over a couple of people's head. That means if I see you walking with her, I'm going to kill you and him. Now, no, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm a killer. Because I don't know if I would have did anything. But that's how I was feeling at that time. You know, and y'all taught me to put a name tag on how I'm feeling. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, man, I could come in a meeting and my spirits is good on the outside, but my turmoil in the inside is twisted. Because I'm going through some stuff on my job and I try not to come in a meeting or take it out on somebody else. But when you come in a meeting and the meeting discombobulated, then I'm discombobulated. So I want to fit right on in with the addicts. I want to clown around. I don't want to, you know, hold something for the newcomer can hear something. You know, I want to keep walking back and forth to the coffee. You know, I want to go over and holler at Joe Blow and Sub Group. I'm talking about me, right? But it's not fair for the newcomer because they need to get it just like I got it. You know, so since being here at Narcotics Anonymous, I did some footwork and I had a partial job. And I had this job where they was paying me a little bit of money on Friday, and they give me the rest of the money on Monday. You know. And I felt less than a man going home telling my woman I ain't got but half of the rent money. Now, I remind you, I just told you I'm that kind of dude that like to go half on stuff. You know. So that kind of pattern was giving her some ideas. Is he using again? You know, because see, it ain't that nobody told nobody that we be using. Your pattern changed. You stop going to meetings. You stop talking to your network. Stop calling your sponsor. What else going to happen? You lose your job. You just say, forget, I got this thing. And just when we think we got it, we lost. You know, so I got out and I talked to the people. And the guy asked me how much was I making. And I said I was making $9 an hour at the time. And he said, I'm going to see, can I get you to work for us? We was doing contract work with him. And so they got me to work for them. I started off as a laborer. Now I'm going to tell you the transformation when things start happening. I started off as a laborer. They tried me out 90 days. They trusted in the attic like me. I haven't touched or stole none of this stuff. And I do construction. I build homes from the ground up, condominiums. Now I'm a site foreman. I manage 80 to 100 guys. You know? It's a miracle, man. You know, this program is awesome. So that's why I said excited about recovery, man. You know, I wouldn't miss this for the world, man. You know, you got addicts at home talking about, you ask them if they're going to convention. Oh, no, nah, man, I ain't going, man. They ain't going to do nothing but the same old faces, same old speakers. I say, okay. I'm going. I'm not letting you hinder my recovery. You know, won't you just say you can't afford it? I'd rather for you to tell me you can't afford it. Not that I might help you at that time, right? But I'm just saying, don't get it twisted. I help people, right? But that's a lot of money you're talking right there. It costs to come to a convention unless you're a newcomer. You know, so I got a job building homes from the ground up. I started doing some footwork. And before I really started doing some footwork, my new company allowed me to stay in an 8-bedroom mansion. Right? Where it was a mansion, man. It was huge. I wasn't paying no rent. They was allowing me to save money. I had cable, washing, and dryer. So I was really getting complacent in this place, right? I wanted to bring all my NA family in there and throw a party. That's how big this place was. You know, and my sponsor said, you need to do some footwork, you know. And by the way, I have a new sponsor, you know, who does step work, you know what I mean? And I love her dearly, you know what I'm saying? And because we use together, and the power attraction of this program I see in her from where we've been at, sleeping on church steps on hard concrete, right? And then she moved through treatment, apartment, and got her own house and a nice job. I wanted them things, you know. It wasn't that I was hating or none of that. I wanted them things, you know what I mean? And God started opening the way for me, man. So I started seeing evidence, you know. And what happened was I stayed in my mansion for about 6 months before we demoed it and saved the facade, which is a historical front. And this lady said, we're going to do a criminal background check on you, you know. And I was like, right then and there, the disease was kicking up. Excuse me, I had doubts because I knew I was a criminal. I got felonies, you know, I got a log book, right? And so when it came back, she said it came back no record. So right then and there, I knew it was the God of my understanding. That wasn't nothing but God's word. I said, you talking about me? So she said, yeah, you Mr. Sam. I wanted to say, first I was going to say thank you, but I got to give it to God first. Then I thanked her, right? And I said, man, this program good. Because the only thing I can reflect back to is it ain't of me being clean one day at a time. Because if I wasn't clean, I couldn't even make the effort to even go look for an apartment. I'd have looked for a band of men to break in and turn it into a crack house. And then I want to control that. And ain't none of us paying no rent. You know? So I'm moving on to step three, right? It said we made a decision to turn our will over to the care of God as we understood Him. So I start understanding the miracles, the transformation about God. I ain't got to come in here and say Allah, Buddha, Jesus, just God. Right? And it was a tunnel. And I was all the way at the other end of the tunnel. But it was a little light shining way down at the other end. And I had been trying to get to that other end for a long time. My clean date is February the 3rd, 2003. I just celebrated 3 years. You couldn't have told me, at least by now, at least I say about 6 months at the most. I supposed to at least took a teaspoon of some Hennessy or something, man. You know what I mean? And y'all ain't supposed to know about that. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't going to be all falling out and all that other stuff. You know? Because people, man, I just want to say this for the relapsers, man. It take an honor and courage to come back to this program, man. You know what I mean? But a lot of time when people relapse, they think that we're going to beat them up when they come in, because some people do. Some people beat them up. I'm not one to beat you up, man. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to hug you. You know, because what was freely given to me, I got to give it back, man. I don't care. You know, that's why I thank God for our readings. Because see, it already explained before an addict like me even tried to come in here and change something. It said, don't care what your race is, what's your nationality, who you connected with, what's your religion, sex, creed, or none of that, man. See, I know once I cross that threshold, I'm considered an addict. You can't put me out. Ain't nothing you can do. I'm just like you. You know what I mean? And I love our symbol, especially when they talk about goodwill, man. Because I reach out to people, whether you fat, skinny, short, tall, funky, dirty. I embrace. I give rides and all that, man. It don't bother me today. And I don't go back and tell everybody I did that for you. Because that's not doing it with no strings attached. If I got to let somebody know I did something for you, that's supposed to be between you and God. And I ain't sitting here saying that I'm holified, sanctified, and all that up here. But the third step is in my walk. The proof is in the pudding. And if anybody know me from the city, it's in my walk. I don't try to be up here. I'm right here. And I appreciate where I'm at today. You know, and so I just want to say that being in here, right, even though I'm not using it and I have a desire to stay clean, and that wasn't enough, so I'm doing step work, that ain't enough, I still need to raise the bar. I still need to raise the bar. Because I don't think that God brought me this far for me to stop right here. No, sir. You can hate on me all you want, because I'm going to keep rising to the top. Thanks for letting me share.